Blog Talk Radio.
How y'all doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Well, that's great.
Hallelujah.
How you doing, Pastor Leroy?
Pastor Leroy, I'm doing well, man. I'm sitting here with my old lady, and we're eating some chicken, some collard greens, and hey, give me some salt, man.
Yeah. You can have your greens. No, thank you. Never been a fan of mine. Pastor Ken, how are you?
Pastor Ken? Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, Pastor.
I'm doing great.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Excellent. I'm ready for the day.
Good.
I know you got a sermon on addictions you want to talk about. And so do I.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you go first, okay? And we'll compare notes, okay, on both sermons and see if we're on the same page.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is your show. I usually take it from the start. So tonight, you're going to take it from the start. So begin, and I'll finish.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Absolutely. It's your show.
Oh, okay, Pastor Ken. It's titled Darkness, and it's a part of a series of three. Okay, and the scripture, it comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. So, the journey towards Christ, this looks at darkness, the place where we all find ourselves before coming to know God. Have you ever been completely in the dark? Can you just a second to remember what it felt like? What are some words you use to describe that experience? They're not usually good words, are they? They're often sometimes terrifying about darkness. All our scary stories involve darkness. Think about it. Ever heard someone tell a ghost story that happens on a bright, beautiful, sunny day? Almost all of them take place in the dark. Are ghost stories even told in the daylight? Of course not. They're told in the dark. Now, here's the thing. We're in physical darkness. We always know it. Even blind people can detect the difference between when they are in light and when they are in darkness. But we can be in the dark spiritually and not even know it. When you are in darkness, you don't know where you are. You are lost. But part of being lost is not knowing you're lost. There's something harder than seeing your own darkness and admitting it to yourself and others. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, spiritual darkness. We're heading towards fall, so our series is called The Journey Towards Christ. And we'll start today in darkness, where every spiritual journey begins. There are people all over the room who are in some kind of darkness right now. Many don't know it. You are in spiritual darkness of missing God in your life. You are in a behavioral darkness of addiction to alcohol or pornography or gambling or drugs, okay, or overeating. Are you in the emotional darkness of negativity where the whole world and everything that happens looks bleak to you at all times? Are you in the darkness of being hopeless where you just don't think things in your life can ever get any better than they are? Are you in darkness of loneliness? Are you in physical darkness of illness? Are you in the darkness of lack of purpose for your life? Are you in the darkness of anger or bitterness or resentment? How's that working out for you? Seriously, I ask with compassion, how does it feel to be with you right now? How have you recognized that you may be in darkness? You see, God has a lot to say about darkness. Darkness is a common theme in the Bible. Darkness used as a metaphor for ignorance and spiritual blindness. The Bible describes the world living in darkness before Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, before those people lived in darkness, but now they have seen a great light. They lived in a dark land, but a light that has shined on them. See, the world is in darkness. When the individuals of the world are in darkness, at one point, we're all in darkness. At one point, we all live in B.C. The scripture, we have this picture of a world of individual human beings who are in darkness before Christ comes to his earth. People are lost and don't know their way. They're in moral darkness, relational darkness, spiritual darkness, emotional darkness. They may be fearful. They may not. But either way, they do not know their way. We must read this as a description of those people at that time, but also understand it is a portrait of every human life without Christ. The scripture purpose is to show us response to darkness. You can ignore it. Even being in the dark and figuring out what you might as well close your eyes because they're useless. This is one response people have to being in darkness. There's no way to ever really know how to live life, so whatever darkness is in the norm for everybody, you can deny it, of course. Refuse to acknowledge the possibility that the reason they keep constantly bumping into things is because they are in darkness. I know I keep bumping into things and making a mess of my life, but my beliefs are really work for me. They really, really do. I don't need God. I don't need some crutch in my life to make me feel better. Compassion for it. People are physically blind, develop other senses more accurately so they can compensate for what they lack. When we are spiritually blind, we can put other things in our life in a position where God would otherwise be. Money, possessions, addictions, or whatever. I know many people who worship another God they call science, and that's what brings mystery and wonder to their lives. Admit it. Okay? God's Rainbow Church is that all that's being to help people. Get that fourth option. But there's nothing harder than coming to see our darkness and admitting it to ourselves and to others. What will be your response to darkness you may be in? Do you recognize the darkness that's in your life? Do you recognize a need for God in your life? Do you realize that spiritually you may be in darkness? Do you recognize that you may have an addiction to something that is, might be a kind of darkness in your life? Do you recognize a negativity and critical spirit in your life as a kind of darkness? If you are hopeless, do you recognize that as a darkness, as something that can be different? Have you recognized that illness doesn't have to throw you into emotional darkness? Do you see your life as without purpose and recognize that as a kind of darkness? Or angry or bitter or resentful right now? Have you ever been compensating for that or ignoring it or denying it? Do you see it as a kind of darkness? So where are you now in regard to whatever darkness is in your life? Have you been ignoring it, denying it? Have you been trying to compensate for it? Or are you prepared to admit it? What if that happened everywhere? What if people all over the world stopped using nice names for their problems and realized they stem from darkness? God is not in my life. Am I in darkness? I have an addiction. I am in darkness. I'm a negative person. I am in darkness. I am hopeless and in the dark. I am in the darkness of loneliness, illness, lack of purpose, anger, bitterness, and resentment. The Bible warns us cover to cover of the danger and ultimately the futility of continuing on in darkness, blindness, and ignorance. But there's nothing harder than coming to see our own darkness and admitting it to ourselves and others. It's just hard to do, you know? So now if you say you think you might be ready to consider the darkness that's in your life, I want to ask you, what's the first thing that happens once you realize you are stuck in darkness? You begin looking for a way to get out, right? So I want to talk to you about searching. But if today you have thought about your life and realize there is darkness in it somewhere, that is a huge step. Why? Because there's nothing harder than coming to see our own darkness and admitting it to ourselves and to others. So if today you have come to a place where you think you're ready to see it and admitting that you need to search for a way out, I applaud you for that. The hardest part is over. It really is. Once you realize you are in darkness, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or whatever, then you can begin searching the way out. And I want to help you, okay, with that. Amen. Zets, I'm finished with my sermon. What did you think about that, Pastor Kent?
I thought it was quite interesting. You always do very interesting topics. I do it a little different. And people seem to like hearing you better than me. But that's okay.
No,
they're two different
kinds
of preachers.
True.
No, it is. I can be honest. I can be honest.
It's a preaching. Okay? Okay,
yeah.
And it's good to get different ideas out there on the subject.
It is. And with that, leads me in to my question. Many people wonder if it's okay to be an addict and a Christian for as long as substances of abuse have existed. People have fallen into victim of addiction. The Bible is a source of history of wisdom regarding temptation, long-suffering, and giving in to sin. We use, as addicts, we use sayings such as not being able to stop, i.e., I can stop anytime I want. Having no control over the drug or alcohol, i.e., I don't need it, just have to use it to cope with life. Feeling as if you have to use drugs or alcohol on a regular basis. What are you talking about? It's not too early to drink or have a drug. You know, we use stupid sayings like that. And in the Bible, Ken is right. On drinking alone, there's 4,434 different topics on drinking. Wine has 444. Self-control. Now, here's a big number for you. 8,339. The Bible dictionary describes addiction as a substance that is not able to be controlled by yourself. In drug and alcohol abuse in Canada and United States, every year there's over 47,000 deaths related to alcohol and drug. Students actually have the highest amount, which is at 42%. Now, you say, well, what constitutes an addiction? If you can't control any of these, it's an addiction. Alcohol, tobacco, opiates, i.e. heroin, prescription drugs, i.e. painkillers from the doctor, cocaine, cannabis, marijuana. And I hear this all the time. Oh, marijuana is an easy drug. You know, it's legalized. Really? Well, because I'm an alcoholic counselor, did you know that marijuana takes the longest to come out of your system? Cocaine is only three weeks. Barbiturates, which are prescription drugs, and opiates are only 3 months. Marijuana can take up to 6 months to come out of your system, and if you're involved with the criminal system and have to have a drug test, i.e. hair follicles, can be up to a year. So don't tell me that it's a good drug. Impulse control, intermediate explosive disorder, getting mad for no particular reason, kleptomaniac, paranoia, gambling, yes. If you go and you buy those tickets every week, no matter what, just so you can win on the lotto, guess what? That's gambling. And it's a sin. Anything that takes away from God and puts God in a different place in your life besides number one, it's an addiction. behavioral addictions, food, sex, pornography, using computers and the internet, excess working, excess exercise, spiritual obsession, pain, cutting, and shopping. Pastor Ken talked about Isaiah, and with closing, in Genesis 9, 20 to 24, we talk about Nabal and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 9, we talk about Lot. And in Genesis 9, verses 20 to 24, we have Noah. So if you say that addiction is not mentioned in the Bible, you obviously are not reading the same book I am. And with that, I'll shut up.
Okay. Well, Pastor Kent, that was very enlightening. Okay. Thank you for bringing us up to speed on addiction. Let's bring on Pastor Veal and see what he has to say about addiction. Pastor Veal, how are you doing today?
Hey! I'm great. I just got back from swimming in the pool, so I'm feeling refreshed, I'm feeling godly, and I'm feeling absolutely great. I was talking with your other half in chat just a second ago about Beyonce's new album, which I actually thought was really, really good. I love the interpolation on it, and, you know, I think it's an absolute banger, especially for what I mean by that is I think gay people will love it, and that's a perfectly fine thing. And I love it for what it is, especially. But, have had a great day and some thoughts on addiction here. First and foremost, I'm of the strong opinion that everything can be done in moderation. And I'm also – this is going to – I don't mean to conflict with Ken here, but I'm of the opinion that all and I'm being completely unironic here. All drugs should be legal, because I think a lot of addiction is actually extended by the mere fact that it is illegal. And yeah, there are Good Samaritan laws and whatnot, and you can call for help and not get arrested for possession. But the short on addiction is I think the illegality of most drugs leads to people becoming more addicted. And a lot of people have issues with my opinions on that, and they say I'm wrong. But I'm all for, you know, safe injection sites, things of that nature, because I think...
I agree with you. I mean, if we legalize all drugs in this country, we would have a spike in addiction. We would. Okay, we would have a spike in addiction, 100%, for about 5 years, but then it would slow down, everything else in life.
Yeah, Spain did that, and the results were actually quite astounding, and I know New York is experimenting with it, and California is experimenting with it, but the short is, if you want to cut down on addiction, I think legalization is probably the best option. I was really happy to see marijuana legalized in a lot of states. And, you know, for a pastor, I do have a back experience. I have done drugs like cocaine. I have smoked weed before. I still greatly, greatly enjoy beer, but I'm not addicted to the substance whatsoever. Because, as I was saying earlier, moderation is key with virtually everything. If you don't moderate, it leads to issues. So,
right.
I agree with Tony Farrar entirely on it. Moderation is key. I agree with legalization of all drugs, and I think that's the best way to stifle addiction is by getting to the root cause of addiction, which outside of human nature is oppressive policies that end up putting a lot of people in jail, breaking up the family unit, and causing societal damage more so than the drugs itself.
Yeah, well, like in New York, actually, prosecutors, are not even prosecuting simple drug cases, because it's over full population in the prison system, it's unbelievable, and a lot of other places like California are doing the same thing, Okay.
Yeah, of course. And I think that the ostracization of especially marijuana users, because it's such a prevalent drug at this point. I can't name a single person who hasn't done marijuana or at the very least done Delta 8, which can be found in gas stations virtually all across this country. I've tried Delta 8. I'm not a huge fan of marijuana, by the way. I want to make that clear. It's not from a personal standpoint, but just because of how it affects me. I only like it when I listen to music, honestly. But, you know, I think the ostracization of drug users and seeing them as, like, secondary citizens, so to speak, and that people who don't do them that are straight edge, I think that leads to addiction, too, because, you know, if you're one of those people who are doing drugs, you can't, like, go to somebody, or a lot of times they feel like the church isn't there for them, or if they go to the church, they're just going to say, well, you're addicted, you're a piece of trash, get out of here. When I don't think that's the right option there, and I also don't think preaching entire abstinence from drugs just to a addict is probably the best way to do it either, because that seems like a huge hurdle to climb, right? If you are truly addicted to a substance, just saying get clean to me isn't the best way to go ahead with that. Obviously, that should be part of the conversation, like you should work towards getting clean. But I don't think saying, well, just stop doing it is a good solution to the issue, so to speak. Because when you hear that, that's just Occam's razor, the simplest solution. But I really don't think that is the correct solution.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Kent,
I don't get why Pastor Kent is upset about this, because, like, I have always assumed this would be a panel, and something that I'm actually quite passionate about is I'm sort of libertarian. Something I'm really quite passionate about is drug use and how to curb addiction in the United States and how to solve the issue of incarceration, mass incarceration, of especially African Americans and different minority groups. Like that is something that I do care deeply about.
So, Pastor Kent, okay, what is your take on that? What do you think?
You don't want to know my opinion.
Well, no, yeah. Well, what's your opinion? I mean, you know, yeah.
No.
What's your opinion? Yeah, I mean,
no.
your opinion
you
is
don't.
Much
because,
much respect.
And I'll tell you
okay?
why. You guys have your way of thinking, and that's fine for you. That's great for you. All the power to you. But I am not going ever to admit, nor will I ever allow drugs of any kind in this world, because I started out with marijuana. And anybody who has an addictive personality will be the same damn way. Okay.
Right. You're right on that. If you have that addictive personality.
Then it was marijuana.
Yeah.
Then it was heavier drugs, LSD, barbiturates, pills. Then it got to heroin, cocaine, and all kinds of other horse stuff. Okay. So I will never say that you should legalize drugs. As far as I'm concerned, that's a bold statement that you're asking for trouble.
So
because
it's not a bold
addicts,
statement, Kent. The reason it's not a bold statement is do you want to see higher incarceration rates? Do you want to see higher?
Are you
going to
let me finish, or are you going to keep interrupting me? Or am I going?
Finish. Pastor can't finish.
Jeez.
And then you can reiterate.
When you legalize,
yeah, go ahead,
drugs, take marijuana for an example. Now that they've legalized it, there's all kinds of places on the street. Okay? Every freaking corner I go here in Ontario, I see a cannabis shop. and the addicts are loving that.
Really?
So all they have to do is
cannabis is legal in Canada now?
Yes. All you have to do is go to a doctor and say, I have chronic pain. Can you give me a prescription for marijuana? And it doesn't matter what marijuana you have, okay? The medical marijuana does not have a high THC. Yes, I'm aware of that. But a lot of what they're smoking is not normal marijuana. Some of them grow it themselves, and they put the THC up. So I'm sorry. I will not stand for that, okay? I think every freaking bar in the city of Hamilton should shut down, and it should all become churches. And every liquor store should be the same thing. There is too many people in this world using alcohol and drugs as an excuse. Oh, well, I was drunk or high. I didn't have my faculties about me. What a load of horse pung.
So,
seriously.
So Pastor Kent, I just had two beers. One was non-craft and one was. And I always come on and I do plugs for craft breweries because I think they're phenomenal local community centers.
That's nice for you.
I think they're absolutely great for the economy, and I think they make beer better, which is something I'm passionate about. I am passionate about beer and whiskey because I want people to drink things that are intrinsically, if they're going to drink alcohol, better tasting for them and not addictive. You could have one craft beverage and you could be done for the night. And that is a great thing in my book. I don't think it's for everybody either. I know plenty of people who have suffered with alcoholism. And yeah, the fact that the liquor store is there is enticing, but I don't think that the solution is to ban liquor stores off every corner or ban marijuana dispensaries or incarcerate more people. Because all you're going to do at the end of the day is you're going to clog up the court systems with victimless crimes, because a lot of times they are victimless. If you're carrying around a crack pipe in your car, 95% of the time you aren't going around and killing people either. That's just the pure fact that you're just probably addicted to the substance.
Oh my goodness.
You laugh, but look at the data. Look at the data, Ken. You laugh.
Whatever.
But look at the data.
I'm not done.
I apologize for cutting you off earlier, but I'm not done. Fact of the matter is the United States has an incarceration issue, and that is the leading cause of the breakup of a family unit in the United States, pure and simple. The root solution to that is not by banning drugs. The war on drugs has killed more people, in my opinion, than drugs have themselves. I'm probably wrong on that, but it's killed people. It's killed people. It's split apart families. And the fact that Ronald Reagan issued an order that any drug dealer would be put to death, essentially, is astounding to me. That is the most unchristian thing I could think of that someone could do. I think the Christian thing to do is get people in the palliative care, if they are addicted, and allow people who are not addictive, who do not have addictive personalities, to stay and not incarcerated and do not continue to break up the family unit. That is the root cause of a lot of issues.
Hold on a second, though. If you're driving around and get pulled over by the police with a crack pipe in your car, you're probably smoking crack and driving.
Yeah, no, you're right. Tony, you're right. Yeah, I apologize. That's probably not the best connection. What I'm saying is I don't think that people should go to jail for 20 years for having a crack pipe. I think that's the sort of what I'm trying to get at.
I will agree the drug laws are too extreme. I will agree with that. Marijuana should be legalized. Marijuana has tons of medical uses. So you can go from there.
It does. If you talk to the average a lot of veterans are now prescribed medical marijuana, and a lot of them have said that it does work. And I think it's probably better than opioids, too. If you want to talk about a major issue, opioids are actually prescribed and completely, legal if you have a prescription to it.
And are the biggest problem amongst drug addicts in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Opioids.
Can I intervene for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Leroy.
Here we go.
I want to intervene here for a second. Now, I've been sitting back and listening to this, man. But I'm going to tell you now, in my state, marijuana is legal. Okay, it's been legal for a while. And I'll tell you what, I buy it. I'm not going to lie to you. I do. I use it for medicinal purposes.
Uh-huh.
That's why I use it. Do I use it every day? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I use it when I'm having a bad day? Yes. Do I drink alcohol sometimes? Yeah. Am I drinking alcohol right now? Yeah. But that's my choice. That's my choice, man. I don't have to do it. I believe what Tony just said is true. If you know, marijuana should be legalized. The other drugs, I don't think I agree with that. Marijuana should be legalized nationally. That's just my opinion.
Yes,
and
I agree.
You know,
they should not legalize all drugs. No.
No. No, not all drugs. Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, marijuana has become part of my life. And I'm sorry if it upsets you, Pastor Kent, but that's just the way it is. Now, I'm not addicted to it, but I use it. I go to a place locally here called Pure Relief, which is a dispensary, and it's a great thing for me, for a lot of people. We need it, man, just to help us through our difficult times, man.
Well, okay, back again. What do you think of that? Okay.
Like I said, I already said what I believe, and nobody feels the way I do, and that's fine. You know what?
Well, you know, you have an issue with addiction yourself, and you, as a counselor on addiction, okay, you know the effect of drugs, okay, and it's your standpoint, okay. Okay, which I believe everyone has a right to their own standpoint. Okay, what they be willing to tolerate or what they won't be willing to tolerate.
But yes, too. But there is Kent is making a point that are trying to make the point that everybody that uses drugs is an addict, and that's not true because you can use drugs and not be an addict or have an addiction.
True.
There you go again, jumping on my words, saying what I'm saying. That's what you're hearing. That's not what I said. When did
I ever say
in my message that everybody who uses drugs is an addict? When did I say that?
You didn't say that.
When you go to excess, and this is why I laughed at what Pastor Veal said. Oh, you can this and this and this, and it don't have to be an addict. Well, obviously, that's a non-addict talking and don't know diddly squat about what it's like to be an addict. When you cross that bridge, there is no going back. Yes, you can quit. Absolutely. Yes, there's ways to quit. Yes, there's programs out there that can help you. Yes, there is. But you know what? The minute I pick up a bottle of beer, I'm right back down the same path as what I used to be. And you cannot sit there as a non-addict and sit there and tell me that addicts can quit. No, they can't.
No. Addicts cannot
quit.
It's
impossible.
No, I agree with you there.
So.
Once you're an addict, you're always an addict.
Yeah.
You're just one step away from becoming an alcoholic again or a junkie again. It's just, when are you going to have your next fix, or when are you going to have your next drink? It's all about talking yourself out of it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That is an addict.
What they call it, recovering alcoholic.
And you will always be, and you will always be an addict. You will always be an alcoholic. just under control, if I say.
Right. With the help of AA or NA, okay, and the power of God upon our side.
I was going to say, just with the help of yourself, the help of God, I mean, you don't have to go to AA to know you have a problem.
No, you don't have to. No, you don't. Okay, but sometimes support groups help.
Well, yes, they do. I agree.
Yeah. I'm of the fundamental opinion that I think addiction is a disease and not a choice. Like, that is of my views.
Well, I agree kind of with that, because there are people with addictive personalities and there are people that don't have addictive personalities. You know, so I would say that probably addiction is not... Well, it is a choice, because you know when you cross the line or when the line is becoming crossed. So, and you continue to do it, but the fact that you really don't have the control to stop yourself from doing it and from crossing those lines, then that says that could be something that was bred into you genetically, if you want to go that route.
Could be.
You know,
could be.
The children of alcoholics tend to become alcoholics.
Yeah.
The children of drug abusers the same way. So, do you get it from your genetic past, or do you just choose to be an addict?
Yes, of course. Anyways, I think this has been a really, really good discussion. And Pastor Ken, I'm wondering if you have any more callers, and maybe we can pick them up, and maybe then we can move on to the discussion of music, because I thought we were having a really good discussion yesterday on Pastor Ken's show about music and Grant McDonald and lots of other things.
Yeah, okay. I got a couple callers here, 111. Let me take them real quick. 111, you're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Ken, I had a question about addiction.
Okay.
Yeah, it was of a sexual nature, because during the pandemic, to make some money, because I lost my job, I started an OnlyFans account.
Okay.
So is it okay if I give 10% to the church to do it?
No.
Now I'm addicted to sex. Now I'm addicted to sex.
Yeah, sex can be an addiction. Yes, it sure
like
can.
I invited a collaborator once, and he put, like, sand on me, and then he was rubbing sand all over my vag.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a sin if you donate the tithe, right, Pastor Kent?
It's still a sin.
It's still a sin.
And I think Pastor
Well, it's not actually a sin. I mean, stop right there. It's not actually a sin.
Okay, is Pastor Kent on the line?
It can be an addiction.
Yeah, Pastor Kent's on the line. Go ahead, Pastor Kent. Answer the lady's question.
What question is that?
Is it still a sin if I donate, if I tithe? Is it still a sin to do OnlyFans and porn on the internet?
Fornication, adultery, the list goes on. No, it's not.
By the way, this is Madeline Mitten. I'm in Moncton. Will you come over and lick my hairy nipples? I rub them with oil.
Yeah, just hang up, Ken. That's not Madeline.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay, all right. Okay, I hung up. Okay, let's go with the other 111, see what they have to say. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
I figured that.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's continue on with the... let's just discuss Grant McDonald. Tony, you're here. You listened to Grant McDonald last night, okay? What is your personal opinion on Grant McDonald?
my personal opinion on Graham McDonald is his music was repetitious, but it wasn't Christian, as you were trying, y'all were trying to make me believe that it was Christian music. There was nothing Christian about it. It was pure dance profanity. But I will say this. These are the kind of songs that were played in some clubs late night on the dance floors. 2, 3:30 in the morning, this is the kind of music you'd hear. So it was nothing new. It was nothing shocking. Definitely not Christian music, though. The singer may be Christian, but the message itself isn't.
So I want to dive into this a little bit because I'm sort of a, you know, Grant has attended my church. He's Canadian, by the way. He lives in Canada. I know we have some pastors in the room here who are Canadian. But, you know, his earlier stuff, like I was saying, is ungodly. It talks a lot about, Tony, you can probably dive into this a little bit more because you probably listened to his earlier stuff. But his new music that I've listened to is about loving your friends, loving Jesus. He has a song called Forever, Forever.
I couldn't find anything new.
It's not on YouTube, unfortunately, yet. These are private label CDs that he has released to a few churches, actually. He's released one to our church in Valencia, California. He's released some to a few churches in the Midwest, especially in the Chicago area, in Detroit, and a few over in the South. He's issued a few to Atlanta. So they're not on Spotify or YouTube yet, but I will tell you, he is releasing
Christian
music
now. Well, then most of us can't
give
an opinion to if his music is godly now or not, since obviously most of us have not heard it.
Yeah, it's true. So,
Pastor Kent, did you happen to listen to Grant McDonald?
Yeah, I agree with Tony. It's a bunch of... I'm not even going to get into it. Anything I heard about him is all about sex.
Yeah, that's all I've ever heard too. It's all about sex. It's all about, and it's very graphic in about sex. Okay.
Yeah, about gay sex.
Yeah, gay sex. Yes. It's very graphic about that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with gay sex. I truly don't.
Really?
His earlier music
really?
Is very graphic. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Kent, I don't know if you're on the show God's Rainbow Ministries, and Pastor Kent is in a gay relationship with Tony Farrar. I don't think it's a sin, though.
I don't think it's a sin either. It's how you live your life,
it's not about who you sleep with, it's who you believe in.
Right. Yes, true. Yeah.
Ooh, did I just shut up the whole panel? Wow.
Your words are powerful, Tony Farrar.
I was going to say I hadn't heard anybody be quiet all hour. Wow.
Everybody's been talking. Yeah, but, I mean, the show is God's Rainbow Ministries. Hello. I think we've known about this for a while. I don't think it's a sin, though. I live in the great state of California. My church is a little bit more liberal than other churches, but, you know, it works for us, and I think there is a place for the LGBTQ community in churches in America. Amen. And I think that's important. I absolutely think outreach to the LGBT community and accepting them is a very important part of faith, and talking down to them and telling them that their lifestyle is just sinful and horrible in the eyes of God. I don't think that is productive. the Great Commission or to any element of the church, really. But I'm willing to hear Pastor Kent's opinion on it. I know we've had a few impassioned debates on the show today, but Pastor Kent, what say you?
That life is not for me. And with that, I'm saying no more.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, you know, it may not be for you now, but at one time, okay, you know, in your life, you did have a relationship, okay? Okay, you know, and so, what is your take on that? Okay, do you condemn yourself?
What is my take on that? It's very simple. Different time, different life, different thinking, different way of life. I did a lot of stuff in my past I'm not proud of.
Okay. All right.
Do I judge a person for who they are? No. I don't. That's not for me to do that.
Right, it's not. You're right, 100%.
Am I going to condone something I don't agree with? Nope, I'm not. I refuse to do that. My last marriage, I changed myself for her, and I will never do that again. I'm not changing for nobody. You don't like me the way I am? Too bad. If you don't like my opinions, don't ask for them.
Right.
I do not go with that life. If somebody has that life, that's entirely up to them.
Right.
And you know what?
Right.
It's just not for me.
Right. I can see that. You see your point on that. I can see that. Okay.
I just got a message, Pastor Ken. Somebody's on 111 and they promised they're not an echo call and they'd like to come on.
Somebody is on 111 and they want to come on? I got plenty of 111s here. Let me see, 111.
Hi, this is Pants Pooper. I wasn't the one that was calling in on the 111, but I'll stay quiet and you can find them if you'd like.
Okay. All right. We'll look and see. Okay,
you
know the
111?
You on the air?
Oh, come on, y'all.
Hey, how you doing, DC?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing wonderful.
I heard you guys conversating about you know, homosexuality in heaven. And I used to believe, like Kent, that, you know, it was wrong, and I don't necessarily agree with the lifestyle per se, but I think maybe Kent is a little rigid in his thinking, because to me it's about believing in the Lord and having love in your heart for the Lord. It doesn't really matter what, I mean, as long as you live a good life and you're a good person, I think that's what's most important, in having the faith in the Lord, you know, and that there's a better place and a better thing to follow our lives on earth. You know, that's what I believe in my heart. I used to feel the same way as him, but as I've grown older, my views have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you grew, you left behind childish ideas.
That,
amen.
I would agree with that, Mr. Tony. I think that's very true. And I think, you know, it becomes more about your faith and more about the Lord than it does about all the secondary things. You know, your belief, your study, your scriptures, those things are very important. And I think that's what it really comes down to. So when you're on your last breath, if you've lived a good life, that's all that really matters. And if you have that faith in your heart, in the Lord, I think that's what's most important. And that's really, you know, where I've changed my beliefs from when I was a youngster.
Okay. All right.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, this is a good conversation today. Good conversation. Okay, we talked about many things. We talked about addiction. We talked about Grant McDonald. And then we're talking about the LGBTQ community. All right. This is a great, great day.
Oh, yeah. I tuned in late, Ken. I missed the early part of the show, but I dialed in and I was listening to you guys talk about it, and I just thought it's a very interesting topic, you know, and I just think there's a lot of different views on it, but for me, it's just about being, you know, a godly person, somebody that lives a good life and is good to others, takes care of his family, and is just a generally good person and believes that there's a higher power that has a plan in place, you know, and that's where I really lie as far as my belief system goes. But I appreciate you having me on, man. I love being on with you guys. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I always enjoy having you on, DC. Okay, it's my pleasure to have you on.
Amen, brother. Who else is on the panel? I heard Pastor Veal has I thought Dr. Peter Paul was going to call in, but I guess not.
Well, I don't see his number up here, okay, as of yet. But we got some more 111s. Maybe he might have called in 111. I don't know. We'll find out. Let me take some more callers here, okay?
Okay, brother.
111, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Grover. This is Grover.
Hey,
I'm I don't know if Pastor Kent knows me very well, but I'm a homeless colored man. I live down here in San Antonio, and I stay at the Haven for Hope shelter. I was wondering if Pastor Kent has ever done any ministering to the homeless Negroes.
Pastor Kent, are you there? Kent.
Hello.
Kent.
Pastor Kent.
Did he hang up, Kent?
No, he's more than no, he's here. Pastor Hopper.
Maybe he fell asleep.
No, Pastor Kent here.
He said in the chat. He said, please put me on mute until I question. And now he has a question. Pastor Hopper, are you there?
I reckon he doesn't like black people.
No. Pastor Kent doesn't have any viewpoints on religion, race, or creed. Okay?
Religion? He got something to think about religion, I would hope.
He's not against anybody for their beliefs.
Pastor, I know you ministered to the homeless.
Kenny, while we wait for Pastor Kent to wake up, I would like to ask Grover. I was told he had acquired covert again. I was just wondering if he was doing okay because he's coughing pretty heavily.
No, I got the COPD. That's secondary to the covert. I've had the covert approximately 39 times. That's unofficial.
That's a lot of times, man. You must have a one hell of a immune system for a homeless man. The Lord is in Grover, Washington.
I like to keep myself busy. I feel like I keep myself healthy. I drive an Uber.
I hope you stay away from the train tracks, Grover.
Haven for Hope has doctors down there, and they keep an eye on me, even though I'm black.
Okay. Let me take some more callers here. I got quite a few callers here to go through.
I'm sorry to bore you.
111.
I'm sorry.
Grover put his penis on the tray. Orderly.
Hey, Beanie. How you doing?
That's a Mexican.
I'm all right, you know. You know, the
it's
thing
like
about,
United
like, yeah, this guy was telling me about how how gays and this and that, that they're not going to enter the kingdom of God, you know. So I told them, well, there's a scripture in the Bible where it talks all about that. And I told them, which one are you? You know, because we're all sinners, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're supposed to not like the sin, but love the sinner, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I truly think that Pastor Kent is one of the least sinless people on earth at this moment.
Amen.
Knowing him for 10 years.
I don't really know him very well, but I get the feeling that he's sinless. He's white, like the white snow. He's bleached in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
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 All right. Well, let's take another caller here, 510, okay? Let's see who we got. Who we got on 510?
Is that TTV? Hello, it's Tommy Monahan. How's it going, Ken?
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Hello. I'm good. Hey, DC.
What's up, brother?
Not much.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, View. Great discussion with Kent tonight.
Yeah, I'm afraid that Kent has left us because he doesn't like being debated on topics and that I think are very active within the church community. I would hope he would still be here because I do value his opinion. I hope he knows that. And there's been many questions posed to him, and I don't know where he's gone.
As far as his connection, he's supposed to be still here. Okay, I haven't hung up on him, and I don't see him where he's hung up. Okay, so it might be something with Blog Talk too. It's done it with him a couple times. Where he gets cut off and he has to call back in.
Wife's kind of old. She probably gets gum jobs.
Oh.
Oh, Lord.
Ungodly.
Wow.
There he is.
Oh, there's Pastor Kent.
Pastor Kent. Hello.
Kenny.
Is this Pastor Kent?
No.
This is Rabbi Faith Healer. Kent.
Oh, man, I can't tell if this is the fake Kent or the real one.
I was just messing around with me.
All righty. Okay.
Ken, I'm hoping that maybe you can ping Pastor Kent to get him back on here or something like that, because I don't know. If he doesn't come back here, I don't know what to say. Like, if we have debates on this channel and he just runs away because he doesn't like the debate, then, like, I don't know how to help that, you know? I just thought we were
Kenny,
having a healthy debate.
Kenny, how
I think if I hang up, he'll probably come back on. He doesn't like blacks.
Well, he talks to me, and I'm a nigra, as you would call me.
Are you colored?
I literally just said that, Grover. What's wrong with you, deaf man? You got paper on your ears?
No. In Canada, you're called colored. You're colored up in Canada. Down here in San Antonio, you're a Negro.
You're a Negro.
Grover lives in 1965 San Antonio. He's in a time machine or something. I don't think they call you that anymore, Grover. They just call you Grover?
No, I don't think they do. Okay.
Well, sometimes I pick up people when I'm driving my Uber. Say, hello, Negro.
Oh, hello.
Grover, wow. How do you have a car if you're homeless?
Now what do you have to do?
I mean, they could go straight into the oven, but I don't want them to just sit there.
Tony
App ordering in the background?
Oh, does that
sound like
Pastor Kenny?
Yeah.
Is on the show?
Or go
hey, what do you
and
think
flatten.
About? What do you think about preachers that say, just pray the game away?
Pray the game away?
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's ridiculous. Okay, that's ridiculous. It's not going to, pray the game away is not going to help. Okay, because I believe a person is born that way.
I think you can get rid of the gayness if you just try hard. Get rid of it.
Kenny, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. But how is Pastor Kent Hopper supposed to minister to people when he can't even defend his opinion on a godly radio show?
Amen.
I mean, I don't understand. Listen, no one was saying anything mean to him. We just don't agree with him. Why did he run away? Why isn't he, you know, standing on his beliefs? I don't understand. How can you expect someone to take you seriously if you can't even defend your position? And you should have to defend your position, Kenny, because he's a minister, right? He's a pastor.
Well, yeah, everybody has a right to their own opinion, you know.
No, I'm saying what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Donnie,
I can shed some light on this. Donnie, I'd like to shed some light on this. I've run into this constantly within the ministry in the United States here. There's a lot of pastors who simply tell what they think and aren't willing to back it up. I'm not saying that's true of Kent, but a lot of pastors think they simply have the moral high ground, so to speak. And when challenged on it, they don't engage in debate on it. And I'm of the strong opinion that debate in the church is necessary. It was necessary. That's the whole reason why the Orthodox Church exists. The Orthodox Church exists because at the Council of Nicaea, Catholics disagreed with each other. It's the reason why the Protestant Church exists, because Martin Luther disagreed with the Catholic Church at the time among
right.
many, many, many issues. Debate
a bunch of whites.
Debate has always been important in the church, and pastors need to be able to confront it if they are to effectively reach people, because the Great Commission tells people, you know, go out and bring them to the Lord. And a lot of people at this point, they're not uncivilized tribes. They have questions from them. They're wondering
Native
if it's
American
for them.
Tribes.
Amen.
The Native American indigents.
Yeah, I know Donnie Longfeather's tribe is just now getting around to Mormonism, I believe. Which
you know he's from the same town as John Mellencamp? That's true. He grew up with John Mellencamp
from
Seymour, Indiana.
Seymour? Yeah, home of John Mellencamp. I drove through there once.
Amen.
Hope you kept driving. It's no good. Hope you kept driving.
Look at man. Look at it. Hey, is anybody there?
So good.
Oh, hey, is that Lisa Ford?
So come on, baby. You know how this
goes. I got to go. I got to pick up the Uber. I got to go. Goodbye.
Okay, oh, goodbye.
Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent. That is Leroy.
Pastor Kent's not answering. I don't know what's going on.
Is he dead?
I'm talking to you, man.
We got three Negroes.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I thought you had me on mute, man. Why do you
do
that to the black people, man?
I don't have you on mute.
Why do you do that to the black people?
You haven't been on mute. All right,
Pastor Kent. Come on right now, man. I want to have a talk with you.
Perhaps he's being a hermit.
He ran off.
Perhaps he's having a health issue. I mean, I've known Kent for 10 years, and he wouldn't run away from a healthy debate like this. But, you know, I don't know.
We need to come
back. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I really put the phone down and went to go use the bathroom.
Oh, we can't.
You know what, guys?
Oh, man, he is finally.
There.
Very disappointed, man.
The only one on this panel who has no idea what I'm like. You guys all make assumptions. You know, I live my life according to Ecclesiastes. There's a time and a place for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, by the way. Sometimes you have... Okay, whoever that is, it's really rude.
Right, somebody stop the noise in the background. Or Ken, why don't you just mute everybody except for Ken?
Let me do that. I mute everybody. Okay, except for the fact I can't. Maybe we cut back on some of the background noise, and we'll let Pastor Kent continue. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor Kent. Maybe it will help better if we can hear you.
Well, thank you. The only one on this whole panel that knows anything about me is Pastor Ken. You guys are all assuming this thing about me. Notice what I'm saying?
Assuming.
Okay? I live my life according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes there's a time to defend yourself. And sometimes there's a time to shut up and listen. And other times, there's a reason to defend yourself. But you know what? When everybody's ganging up on you, it's the type to get into a fight without background or somebody backing me up. I avoid that. I just don't get into a fight like that. If you want to have a natural, you know, conversation, civil conversation and not assume, fine, we can talk. When you all stop assuming about me, assuming that I hate this and I hate that and I don't like this and I don't like that, taking my inventory, all I got to say to you is grow up. That's all I got to say.
I agree with you. I mean, don't ever assume anything about anybody. Anyway,
nope.
Okay? I mean, it's not good to assume, because when we assume, what are we doing? We're making an ass out of you and me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't do that. Okay? We shouldn't assume. Let me bring the panel back on. Okay? As Leroy. Okay, Pastor Veal.
Pastor Kent, please listen to me.
Yes.
This is your brother, Pastor Leroy Jackson, man. I'm from the
Bronx,
man.
Oh, big deal. Yes, I know your voice. What's up?
Look here, man. Look here. Why you gotta be like this, man? You need to chill out. Maybe you need some of my marijuana, man. Damn.
Sorry. I don't need none of your fire water. I have enough of my own. You live your life your way, and I'll live my life my way, and we'll agree to disagree. That's all.
That's right.
Pass everybody, real quick. Pastor Kent, I am sorry if I was maybe too impassioned with my debate with you. I do hold some strong opinions on the matter, and I'm willing to change and be a little bit more open-minded towards yours. I do apologize. This is Pastor Veal, by the way.
I'm not asking you to change your beliefs. I'm not asking you to do that. You're allowed to believe whatever way you want. Between you and I. That's all I meant to say on that.
But Pastor Kent, if you would like to have a one-on-one discussion, we can mute everybody in Discord. Maybe we can go there and just discuss this. Like, our beliefs on different things, and It would be good. It would be good for people to hear, like a Council of Nicaea, so to speak. We do this at my church, and it typically attracts a lot of people to Christ, and it's always a good thing. If you don't want to do that, that's fine by me. I won't hold it against you or anything, and I would never hold anything against you, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're like I said, we're all pastors. We all have our own viewpoints on things, okay? And you know, it's good to have collaboration of viewpoints, okay? Because here we see where people are coming from, okay, and what they have to bring to the table, okay?
Just
not listen
to me for
a second. Okay, go ahead, Tony. Go ahead, Tony. What did you say?
Well, no, I was actually trying to get your attention.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
As you were walking outside to tell you to please not be yelling for the neighbors.
Oh, I'm not going
to
yell.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, but it's Pastor Tenswood. Like to pop into his Discord room, VC. I will be there. We can hash this out. We can discuss other issues that exist that we don't want to discuss on air. I think it would be a good thing for the health of everybody.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I would like to join that conversation in Discord.
Yeah, amen. Kent, I will be there when the show ends. And Ken, I'm glad you're joining us. And Kent, I really hope you do join us. And it will be a good conversation. Amen.
Amen.
It'll be a good conversation. Okay, I'm reading Discord now. All it is just a lot of people in here are bashing. And you know what? I don't want to be part of that.
Well, we can mute them.
You're doing what? Bashing it?
They're bashing.
They're bashing?
So, like, there's supposedly Pastor Leroy, there's a really horrible comment about me. And it's wrong. You know,
what's
I'm not going to say it because this is Christian. It doesn't matter. Look at Discord.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about, man? Wait a minute. I ain't even in Discord, man. I don't even know what that is.
Well,
what are you talking
according
about,
to
man?
This, according to this, you are in Discord.
Ah.
So.
What did the comments say?
I'm not going to say it on a Christian show.
Oh, okay.
It's a derogatory
good,
comment.
It must not be good.
Pastor Kent, we can mute people here in your Discord. Kent 2400 Discord server, you have mod powers. You can mute them so they don't speak, and it can literally just be a conversation between me, you, and Pastor Ken. I think that would be a phenomenal way to discuss the issues we have here. And also, I do have to say, I'm not seeing Leroy in your 2400 server. I'm seeing Donnie Baby, DC2, Obese Charles, Tommy Monahan, Johnny Longfeather, and Juan from Alabama. Those were all the recent comments from the show, so I don't know what Discord we're talking about here. But I would love for you to discuss this further with me, not over the radio. And maybe we can come to some mutual agreement and we can shake hands on it. Amen.
Our mutual agreement, Pastor, is this.
Amen.
We're going to agree to disagree. You have your opinion, which you're allowed to. Absolutely. I would never try and change your opinion. However, I have my opinion, and I will stick to my guns as well.
Well, yeah. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion, okay?
Exactly.
And we should respect that opinion, okay, of one another.
Exactly.
Okay?
I want to hear it. and we want to hear it, which is why I'm inviting you into Discord BC, where nobody's going to bash you over voice over your opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion.
Ken, don't do it.
Yes.
Don't do it, Ken.
Do you know why I'm laughing, Pastor Deal?
Don't do it.
I have my computer on all the time. I see everything that happens in those rooms. I see how people talk about me. And
they're,
you know what?
Horrid. They're horrid in Discord.
They're allowed to think that. They're allowed to think
that. Look here, man.
If they want it.
Look here,
if they
man.
Want it.
What are you talking about,
they,
man? I don't go on Discord. I don't appreciate you, Pastor Kent, accusing me of something I didn't do. I don't go on Discord, man.
Pastor Leroy, if you interrupt me one more time, I'm going to hang up.
No, don't hang up. Don't hang up, Pastor Kent.
No?
Tony, that's
I would, too. DC's being very rude.
That's not DC, too. That's Pastor Leroy.
Oh, they sounded the same.
Wow.
No, and that's not and that's not racist. Don't try it.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Man. Hold on. You got to give me the floor for a minute here, man. This is Pastor Leroy Jackson. Look, I did a lot of shows with Pastor Kent. I have respect for this man. And he knows I do. I was on his show last night, man. But let me say this. You are accusing me of saying something negative about you. I don't go on that. That is obviously somebody trying to be Pastor Leroy. I don't go on those chat rooms. I don't do it. I don't do it, man. Pastor Kent, I thought we were cool, man. But if you want to go another route, man, you're going a route with the wrong motherfucker, man.
Watch the language.
Really? Okay, I get upset too. You know what? But I would never use that vulgar language on a Christian show. And you're supposed to be a pastor? Really? Using the F-bomb and the N-bomb?
Okay,
all right.
Bye, y'all. I'm out.
Throwing rocks at a glass house.
Yeah, it's wrong to use the F-bomb words, okay? Okay, it's not cool. Yeah.
I agree. Why did you all blame me for that everything? Wasn't right. Pastor Leroy, that wasn't right, and I disagree with you. But Pastor Kent, I think your voice absolutely matters, which is why I want to give you a floor to actually express these opinions. I love you like a brother. You're great, Captain. I love your presence on God's Rainbow Ministry. It's always been a very, very good thing. And your show that you've been doing has been very, very good. You've discussed so many real things, so many truthful things, so many important things. I would love for you to if you don't want to join me, that's fine. I'll be discussing with Pastor Ken sort of as a wrap-up. But you'll absolutely have the floor. And if you can mute people and you can silence them as much as you want to just not speak so they don't speak over you. I think that's true. We can agree to disagree. But I think it's really good to just lay a groundwork, so to speak, of what each of the pastors on the panel agree with. Nobody's trying to disrespect Pastor Kent. Like, I disagree with his views, but I think it's healthy debate is a positive. And if he went into the Discord, I would mute myself and let him and Pastor Veal talk. I want to hear the two pastors talk. I don't want any disrespect going on.
So what's wrong with just talking?
Everybody get together, in Kent's Discord room, and discuss today's show, okay? And it would be great. I mean, how is everybody's viewpoint on today's show been so far? Okay, what do you think about the show and the topics we discussed? What do you think about them all?
I mean, for me, yeah. I think it's been great. I only tuned in halfway through, but I do like hearing different opinions. I think that's what makes the world great, is people that have different opinions respectfully debating. And I didn't see anybody, I mean, in any of the rooms I was in, say anything personally against Kent. They just, I personally just don't agree with them on this one subject. We don't have to agree, like he said. But it wasn't anything, nobody said anything disrespectful to him. And
okay.
I'm sorry if they did, I apologize. You know, I mean, everybody loves, as far as I know, everybody loves Kent. I mean, he's a great voice.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Yeah, and he's a great voice to have on the show, and I'm glad you guys are friends again. And, you know, and it's his room. Like Pastor Veal said, if anyone gets out of line, just mute them or kick them out.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Okay.
But it's been a great show, Kenny. You guys, it's really been a great show.
Well, thank you, GZ.
Amen.
All right. Okay, Pastor Veal, what do you think about today's show? Okay.
I thought it was a great show. This is probably my favorite God's Rainbow Ministries episode because I've remained pretty quiet about my beliefs on the show in the past. Like, I haven't been able to speak candidly to you or Tony Farrar or Pastor Kent about select issues on social issues, especially that I'm really quite passionate about and have spent a lot of time thinking about and actually working with and different organizations about. I guess another one that I can just bring up quickly here is I'm completely anti-death penalty.
I don't believe the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Okay, and I look at murder as murder, whether we're legally committing murder, murder is murder. Okay, and by putting somebody to death, you're murdering them.
And Pastor Kenton, Pastor Ken. I just really enjoyed the actual discussion and debate that we had here. I thought it was very healthy, regardless of if people got a little bit upset or under the collar or whatnot. I think it was a good episode of GRM, and it hits people where it matters most to them because regardless of what you think about the culture war in the United States, it gets people fired up and it gets them discussing things that matter about humanity. And I really think you did a great job on the show today, Ken. Tony Farrar, it's always really great to hear from you. I think Tony F. has a lot of good opinion. And Pastor Kent, I just would love to flesh this out more. I'm not going to prod anymore. I'm in your VC right now to discuss this. And, great show. Great show overall.
Okay. Well, listen, do us a favor, Pastor Veal, why don't you give us a closing prayer?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. Father, we pray for everybody here today. We pray for Pastor Kent. We pray for Pastor Ken. We pray for Donnie Baby, DC2. We pray for Tommy Monahan and everybody who called in, Grover Washington. And we pray that you bless and you keep them in highly favored in the coming weeks, months, years, and for the rest of their lives. We pray for those suffering with addiction, and we pray for those suffering from loss. And, of course, we always pray for those in Ukraine fighting the fight against Russian tyranny. Shoot, rope some seeds come up with your love, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. All righty, I'm going to close this out, and then tomorrow we're going to have a show at 5 o'clock p.m. I hope everybody that's here today can show up for tomorrow, okay, and we can have another great show. And then hopefully I'll do one on Monday, okay, as we will see how things go. So God bless everybody. Thank you. And I want to say give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama.
Roll Tide.
You all right? You okay, buddy?
Okay, so good night, everybody. God bless.
Praise be.
God bless.